Before I say that, I'm not going to, I don't like to embarrass people. Well, I do, but not from the pulpit, okay? I won't even use my wife as any examples anymore because she says it embarrasses. I just die. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think y'all will probably be able to hear me anyway. You think? All right. I guess Jeff, the battery guy, is not here, so. All right. So, I do have some friends here, and, just so they know, we know who they are. Everybody, like, they look around and go, we don't know these people. There are some friends of mine, David and Brian. I'll just give them their first names. And, man, I'm really glad they're here today. Years ago, I was doing a Bible study in Newcastle, Oklahoma, with, long story, but that's where I met these two brothers. And just really, I mean, we just kind of bonded, and it's good to see them. So glad that they're here with their children and all that. So if you would you stand with me for the reading of the Word of the Lord? I'm going to read down from 24 down through 27. And it says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Father, this morning as I come before you, I just thank you, God, for just your presence amongst us. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the very fact that you are God and that you are good. And in all that you do, you're holy and righteous. And Lord, as frail as we are, Lord, as you look down upon us, I thank you that we have a high priest that can sympathize with our weaknesses. Because Christ came and he knows the very things that we struggle with and we deal with. And Lord, I thank you, God, for your mercy and your grace that you have given to us today. So, Father, this morning my prayer is that you would get glory, that your word would be proclaimed as it ought to be, and that Christ would be exalted. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so we've been out of this for a couple of weeks over the holiday, I guess you could say it like that. So I just want to back up, and I want to bring us to the place where we're going to be. So I'm going to try to be quick about this. In verse 18, Paul begins to describe the wrath of God is being revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Now, why is he doing that? Because he's just told us that he's coming, that his desire is to preach the gospel. That's what it is. The power of God is only going to be found in the gospel that men can be saved by. But in order to be saved, in order to be rescued, you have to know where you are. If you're lost today, you need to know where you're at. If you're a believer, it always helps to be reminded of what you once were and what God has brought you out of. And so the very first thing that he begins to point out when he says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And you remember, the ungodliness is basically our relationship with God, how that we rejected God and all this, but unrighteousness is on a horizontal plane, and it's the sinful actions that we have towards one another as men, as people. And what did we do? We suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. Now, I got to confess, my wife told me last time, every time I would say that, I'd say we're suppressing the truth in righteousness. I think I was combining in and un together. Okay, we suppress the truth in unrighteousness, in sinful things. And what that means is that when the truth comes, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to be held accountable. It makes us feel bad, doesn't it? So what do? We push it down to where we think it ain't here no more. And I don't remember, it was Ray Comfort or somebody talked about it's like trying to push a beach ball under the water. It's going to pop up somewhere. You're never going to get rid of truth. It's always going to be revealed. So the first thing was that we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And look at this. Now you skip down to verse 21, I think it is. And he says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Here's the thing. When people tell you that they're an atheist, and I just want y'all to know, we just had National Atheist Day about a week ago. Okay? It's called April Fool's Day, right? It's on April the 1st. The Bible says the man that says there is no God, he's a fool, right? That's just National Atheist Day, but the truth is there is no such thing as an atheist. God has clearly shown them in creation there's a God, and you know what? They know that there's a God. They know from creation, and they know from their conscience that God wired them with. Okay? So, but what happened is this. He says they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, and neither were they thankful. And this is the second thing that we see. And then you get down to verse 23, or actually I'll read 22 with it. It says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And that brings us to where we're at. And so what are we seeing in this? We're seeing that man forsook God. They did not want to glorify God, but what they want to do, they wanted to give glory to what is created. I find it embarrassing for Aaron and the children of Israel. You know, they said, well, we don't know what's happened to Moses. He's up on that mountain. He may be dead. We've got to have a God to serve. Well, give me all your gold. And now he forms a golden calf, and they say, this is Yahweh that brought you out of Egypt. But when Moses comes and questions his brother, he says, I threw it in the fire and it just pops out. Yeah, I don't think so, Aaron. But what they do, and ever since then, I want you to know something. We've been created to worship. And I can promise you one thing. Whether you are worshiping the one true God, whether you are worshiping Jesus Christ or not, you are worshiping a false idol. You have made an idol. You have made a God to fit your own imagination. But God created us to worship. And just so you'll know, sometimes that God that you're serving is your own self. You have put yourself in the position of God to declare what is good and bad and right and wrong, what's just and unjust, what's fair and not fair, and you put yourself in the place of God. And that's kind of hard to hear, isn't it? Well, that brings us to verse 24, where I want to pick up this morning. And the title of this message is, God Gave Them Up. God Gave Them Up. Now, what I want you to understand, like the songs that we were singing today, the songs of praise, I mean, those are songs that we're able to sing because God has saved us. I mean, even the breath that we're singing with is a gift from God. And we pour out our heart. We want to shout your name to the worlds. Now, as Baptists, we don't do a lot of shouting, do we? We heard some this weekend. I'm going to be honest with you. Some of it was a little too much for me. But man, I do think there ought to be something there that just says, I want to proclaim God's goodness for what he's done for me. It's just like, think about your children. Doesn't it make you feel good as a parent when you hear your child telling other children, my mom and dad are awesome? Doesn't that make you feel good? I mean, you know you're probably really not, but man, they're telling other people, and when we cannot withhold. I mean, he says the stones would cry out if we're not going to do it. Now listen to this. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Now, why did he do that? Because of what we just said. They suppressed the truth. They did not give glory to God. and they found themselves worshiping false, they, you know, whatever it was, gold, trees, I mean, it could have been anything, but in the forms of animals and all manner of things, even men. And it says, God gave them up. Now you say, well, God is a God of love. Why would God do that? Well, let me tell you something. God, he comes to a place where when people reject God, they're saying, I don't want you in my life. I don't want you. You know, we always think that, I've heard people say, man, I've been seeking God my whole life, or I've loved God my whole life. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. You see, you have only loved the God that you've created in your own mind. And that God's really okay with you. It's a scary thing to start reading the Bible and learning what the God of Scripture is really like. Because what you're going to find out is he's going to deal very severely with sin. And we cannot let our love for people, like, oh, I love them so much, I don't want, you know, I want to just try to, you know, pamper them. No, we need to tell people the truth in love. The most loving thing that you can do for somebody is to tell them the most truth that you can. That's the most loving thing that you can do. And yes, sometimes when you're telling somebody they're in sin and they need to repent, it does not feel good. It hurts feelings. It offends. All these things. That's what it's meant to do, brethren. That's what it's meant to do. If I could, I would physically shake you out of a slumber to get people right, but I can't do that. Now he says, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. When he talks about uncleanness, in the Bible, when God created everything, everything was good. And he told us what was clean, meaning what was right, what was morally right to do. And when we're dealing with this, we're dealing with sins of sexual sins, okay? This section right here is dealing with this right here. And what it's doing is it's showing you the depravity of man in a fallen condition, and they have a sin nature. It isn't like we just do a couple little bad things. Friends, I want you to understand that when we go into that, start going down that road, it doesn't just stop right here. No, it goes further and further and further down until we get into some of the most twisted and warped things that you couldn't even imagine that take place. So listen to this. He says, he gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So this uncleanness is a morally, it's to be morally unclean. It's to have desires that are of an illicit nature. And then he talks about this. He says, in the lust of their hearts. Now, I want you to understand something. God has commanded us to love one another. Okay? And so to love one another is, in the truest sense, that we're going to love as Christ loves, then it's a selfless love. In a marriage, to love your companion is selfless. It's about giving and not trying to take. Lust, on the other hand, comes from a sinful nature, and it's about taking, and it's all selfish. It's all about me. It's all about what can I get from this person. And that's what, and see, and when you see this, you go back, and we're going to look at something in Leviticus here in a moment. But we're going to set it up and listen. He says, in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now, to dishonor our bodies among ourselves is to partake in that nature in any form or fashion that is not what God has given us. So you start with this. What did God give us? Here's Adam. He's all alone, right? Here's the girl cow, the boy cow. I mean, he's going on. I don't know if it dawned on him or it's a boy, but there's no girl. And yet God causes him to go into a sleep. He pulls a rib out. He makes woman. He wakes up and he's like, wow, where'd this beauty come from? And God instituted marriage right there. You know what he said? Adam, enjoy your wife. Eve, enjoy your husband. I have given you to one another to love one another, we got kids, so I'm just going to say this in every area that there is. But that love is what? It's a selfless thing. It's about giving. It's about benefiting the other person and not trying to always take. He didn't give us marriage for lust. Okay, so listen to this. He says that they would dishonor their bodies among themselves. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you will, over to Leviticus chapter 18. Because we need to understand this. Because in this, when Paul is writing to the Romans, they're in Rome. This is the capital of the Roman Empire. And what you need to understand, in the Roman leadership, there was all manner of sexual immorality all the way down. Okay, it went into the slaves, it went into all manner of abuses and illicit relationships. It's gonna all be covered here. Now listen to this. In Leviticus 18, I'm going to just kind of run through these quickly if I can. He says, in verse 1, he says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. So he's saying this. He's saying, I'm fixing to tell you some things that you're not going to do that was going on in Egypt. See, a lot of times we think, man, God destroyed all them people. Why would God destroy this? Well, what it doesn't always give you, and let me tell you this, God does not have to tell you why he does things. Okay? You're on a need-to-know basis, and when you need to know, God will let you know. Okay? But what you're going to find throughout all of these nations is you're going to find a repetitive pattern. And it's everything that we're looking at in Romans 1 right there. Okay? So, he says, according to the verse 3, according to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in their ordinances. So they're going to go from Egypt into Canaan. And Canaan, all of them tribes there, all them nations there, are doing the same things. And God's fixing to tell them what it is. First of all, he says, you shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them, and I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. You think he's trying to get a point across to him? I am the Lord. This is the Lord's word. This is God saying this. And then he says this, the nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Now, to uncover nakedness is to lie carnally with someone. We would say, man, that's kind of disgusting. We dealt with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's a man that had his father's wife. Now, most likely it was his stepmother, but nonetheless, even pagan Corinth said, that's pretty vile. That's pretty disgusting. And those folks, if you were called a Corinthian, that was a disgusting thing to call you. It meant you was about as immoral as you could get in that time and in that culture. And even they frowned upon that. So look, he starts with that right there. He goes in verse 8, he says, the nakedness of your father's wife you shall not uncover. It's your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not uncover. Not only does he cover, like, this is my full blood brother or sister, he even says, even if it's half sister, half brother. So I don't know what Arkansas is going to do with this one, but I got to throw that in there for my Arkansas friends in case they're listening. But listen to this. He says, the nakedness of your, or the, okay, I've read that. In verse 11, he said, the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, she is your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. This is your aunt. She is of near kin to your father. You're not to uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister. She is of near of kin to of your mother. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She's your aunt, even if it's by marriage. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. Can I tell you something? These are pretty, like, this kind of puts a, this is a bad feeling in your stomach when you hear this. And do you know that nonsense goes on today in a lot of places? It goes on even today. So what you have to understand is we need to understand why God's wrath would come over a people, why it would come over a nation. Friends, look at America. Look at what we live in. You can't watch a Tide commercial or some kind of, I mean, some granny type commercial without there being some kind of sexual innuendo, you know, trying to sell something to us. It's everywhere you look. I don't even know, I can't even probably get the wording right. But this, whatever Biden did the other day, I mean, that, yeah. What was it, Transgender Visibility Day? I mean, what's that supposed to be? I don't even understand that whole phrase. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but that don't even make no sense. You know what I said? I said, well, I hope their eyes are open and they can see the sin that they're in and repent and come to saving faith. We live in a, it's not only there, and you see, and we back up, and you think about this 30, 40 years ago, I mean, all they wanted was just to be, you know, just accept us. Just tolerate us. It's all about love here, right? That ain't what they're saying now. No, no, no. We want you to accept it and affirm what we're doing. Friends, I want you to think back to the early 2000s when we were thinking, man, just how bad is it going to be coming up? Look where we're at right now. I mean, even though I knew it was going to go fast, I'm still kind of blown away. What's the next 10 years, 5 years going to look like? Are we going to go to jail for speaking against it? Are we going to keep our mouths closed so we don't go to jail? There's a lot of things that you need to consider here, but let me go on in this list here. He goes in verse 17, he says, "You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are near of kin to her." He says, it is wickedness. "Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive." Can I tell you something? Me and my wife have actually lived through that. She had a couple of aunts. The guy married one of them. And while they divorced and that one was still alive, he married another one. And I'm pretty sure he dated a couple of the other sisters in between there a little bit. Now, let me tell you why they didn't like me a lot of times in that church. Because I would stand up and I'd say, this is sin. And you know what I was told? They're happy. They're happy. So you know what I preached? We ain't serving the God of happiness. We're serving the God of Scripture, and He has said it is sin. It is wickedness. I mean, just think about how that Thanksgiving dinner is going to go, right? Well, it didn't go. Friends, it's wickedness. Here's what the world does. Here's what Satan does. We're bombarded with it on every side, aren't we? And what does it do to you? It starts desensitizing you. I mean, I want you to think about when you walk into Walmart or any other store and they got the magazines on the rack. In the 60s, you would have only found the cover pictures on the inside. Little boys are over sneaking into Cosmopolitan, you know, checking out them pictures. Now they're right there on the cover and we just go, ah, yeah, whatever. We don't think much about it. I had a friend, every time he'd walk up to the checkout, he'd flip the magazine around. He said, they must have discovered what I was doing. They started putting pictures on the back. Flip it around, it might even be worse. Friends, it's wickedness. Let's read on just a little bit. He says, you're not to take a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness. And he says, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. And I think you know. He says, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Just in case you thought it was just talking about those that are kin to you. He's like, no. If it's this lady over here, you're not to do it. If it's this man over here, you're not to do that. God said it is wickedness. So listen to this. He says, you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. He says, I am the Lord. Now you go, wait a second, what's that got to do with anything? Can I tell you something? You know that still goes on today? No, wait, listen to me a second. I'm not so sure they probably don't still make them pass through the fire, put them in, you know. But do you know what it looks like today? Let's run around and let's do rampant fornication. And then all of a sudden, come up expecting with child. Well, I didn't want this. We're going to run down to Planned Parenthood. And we'll get rid of this. We're going to go offer this baby up in the fire of Molech. We'll call it something else. We'll call it Planned Parenthood. We'll make it palatable. We'll make it, you know, sound like we care about you. But we're going to murder your child. Do you want to know why God said don't do these things? It just spirals downward and downward and downward. Until you get to a place where, how did we even get here? Look at America. People vehemently fighting for the right. They call it a right to murder their baby. It is my right. It, suppressing the truth. What's the truth? That's life. Life begins at conception. That's life. What's the lie? What's the truth? God made one man and one woman. What's the lie? Sow your wild oats now. Get them all out. Now, did you know that's a lie from the pits of hell? You don't. There's no sowing your wild oats. It's like, well, I got all that out of my system. You put it in your system. You didn't get it out. You didn't do that. And so you look at this. And I'm going to come back to this in a second. We're going to stop right there for a moment. I had to read that because we have to come to this place and we go, because here's what will happen if we say, well, what does it mean that in the lust of their hearts they dishonored their bodies among themselves? And then what we'll do is we'll just kind of pick and choose what that means. Do you know how this starts? It just starts small. Sneaking pictures of bikinis. Then it goes a little bit more and a little bit more. And your body develops this thing where it has to have this sensual high. And when it goes flat, you've got to increase that. And it gets darker and it goes deeper. Young people, listen to me. You can't control it. You cannot control it. You will be a slave to it. You cannot. No one can control sin. We think we can play with a little bit of fire, Miss Pat. I'll strike a match and you come over here and touch it and you tell me how it went. Because I guarantee you wouldn't go jump in a burning house. But you give it long enough time and you will. You give it long, you feed it enough and that's what will happen. See, when God's over here talking about these things, what he's doing is he's doing this. He's saying, this is where people wind up when they say, we don't want God over us. We don't want to serve God. I'm not going to submit myself. I'm going to create my own God and I'm going to worship him. Now, nobody's saying it quite like that, but I want you to know that's exactly what you're doing. And then we look at a place like America and we say, God bless America. I have to ask myself, I'm like, I'm not sure I can say that. I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all may get mad at me, but when we say I pledge allegiance to the flag, I'm like, what America are we talking about? Now, if it's the one that we started with, amen. But if it's Biden's America, I ain't pledging nothing to that except preaching the gospel. I pledge that I will preach the gospel to you wicked sinners that you would repent of this. I'll do that. But I'm not on board with what America and our leadership is doing today. I am not on board with that. I don't know if your good aim stone me later, I guess, but that's where I'm at. And I'm not trying to be unpatriotic or anything like that. I love America. I mean, you go to another place and you're glad that you get to come back. We've got it good. But friends, I just got to tell you something. Christians have got to step up. We have got to stop being quiet. And I'm not this political kind of guy that preaches all that stuff. No, I'm a guy that says the way it's going to change is we have to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. We have to tell people that are trapped in sexual sin that there's deliverance. There's hope in Christ. And that's the only hope that you have. Yeah, it makes us feel bad because you know what the truth is? When we read those things, every one of us has been guilty in some form or fashion. Whether it was just in your thoughts of your mind, or what you're putting your eyes physically on something, or going and doing it. Everyone is guilty to a degree. I heard a preacher a couple weeks ago, at a little conference in Arkansas, and he preached a sermon and he says, we've got to burn sin up like Jesus would. I wasn't even sure he was right about the passage he was on, but the message was right. Kill it. Put it to death. Why? Because I should be speaking to Christians. And what happens with even Christians is we get desensitized and we just watch it over and over and over. And we just start allowing a little bit and a little bit. Next thing you know, you're like, how in the world did I get here? I know it's hard to say amen to that one, isn't it? That was a good place to do it, I can tell you that. So listen to this. I better hurry. God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Listen, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Kind of got ahead of myself a little bit. To exchange something is saying, hey, Bob, I'm going to give you this in exchange for something you'll give me. We exchange the truth of God. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe the truth that God meant it for our good to have one man and one woman? Now, if you've been divorced, I'm not my point on that. But what I'm saying is this. The lie comes along. And I've heard many men on job sites talk about, oh, my wife, blah, 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 and all this. And I wasn't around the ladies, but they might have been saying the same thing. Man, that pig of a husband I got. What a slob. Maybe, I don't know. But I remember a young man coming to me. He was 19 years old, and he was engaged, and he was about to get married. And everybody at work was telling him, man, you're crazy. You're going to throw your life away. You don't want to get that ball and chain, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I was just a few years older than him. I was about 21 or 2. And he came up to me and he said, I thought the guy was going to break down. He was so just nervous, just worried over the whole thing. Now, all this advice he's getting. And he said, tell me what your experience is on marriage. And I said, I love it. I said, my wife's my best friend. I don't know if I'm her best friend, but she's mine. She's all the time like, ah, this guy. But I said, he started telling me everything they was telling him. And I said, well, look at them guys. They're a bunch of pigs. I said, they don't like their wives. They don't care. I said, I like to go home. I like my wife. I like to spend time with her. I said, well, here's what you need to understand. Your wife needs to be your absolute best friend. I said, oh, you're running around with your buddies? That ain't your life no more. This is your life now. And as long as you get that in your mind, as long as you've got that truth right there, that God put you together, and now you're to raise children, you're to have a family, and this is what it is. Now, that's not saying you can't go golfing or hunting or whatever you may do with your friends, but that's not your life no more. But see, people exchange the truth for the lie. And let me tell you this, Satan, where does he always attack? He always attacks the Word of God. Is this what God meant? Did God really say? Oh, if you thought, man, you're going to live with that wife for 40 years? Our 39th anniversary is coming up this year. I feel like I'm more in love with my wife now than I was when we met. And I didn't think you'd get any bigger than that. Boy, I mean, I was just a goofball 16-year-old, 19, got married, and woohoo, you know. But I love her more today. We always panic. We get to talking about, well, man, we're getting older. And like, man, somebody's probably going to die first unless we go in a plane crash or something together. That'd be romantic, wouldn't it? But I think, man, if she goes before me, I'm just going to shoot straight with you. I'm headed to the mission field. You probably won't see me again, maybe once every 7-year furlough or something. I couldn't imagine some woman trying to figure me out. My wife's had a lifetime of that, and she stays frustrated most of the time over it. I would never want to pin that on anybody else, but just where I'm at, I was like, man, I don't know if I could love anybody else. Don't know why I gave you all that random information. I'm going to move on with the message now. So listen to this. He goes on and he says, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. They worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up. The first one was God gave them up to uncleanness. This one is God gave them up to vile passions. These vile passions, disgusting desires. And what were they? Even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. And I think we know what that's talking about. God made them male and female. And I hate that I have to do this, but he made them male-male and female-female. You don't get to pick at 30 and go, you know, I think I'm a girl now. Sorry, you're not. And if you try to go in the bathroom with my wife, your pastor's probably going to have a mugshot on TV. Amen. That's not going to happen. Not before the fight. He says that the women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. How do we get there? I'm going to tell you something. There's a lie that is taught in the science world, in some very liberal churches, that God just made people this way. I mean, they were just born this way. Can I tell you something? There is no scientific evidence that anybody is born gay. None. Now, I will say this. You are born with a sin nature. And some people struggle with certain sins while others don't, but they struggle with sins over here. But nonetheless, what God has called sin, and I want J.D. Greer to know really plainly today, God does not whisper about sexual sins. And as one man said, even if God whispers, it is echoing through eternity. So even if he was to use a small, still voice about it, it's explosive. There is nothing whispered, there's nothing soft, there's nothing lenient. And let me just say this, just so you know, I'm not just picking on any sin. Think about sin. What does sin bring you? It brings you death. It brings you separated from God for eternity if you die in that undone condition. And you may not be a homosexual. You may not go out and fornicate. You may have a very good marriage. You may pay your taxes. But if you are lost, you are going to go to hell because you are a sinner. Okay? So listen to this. He says that the women He said, God gave them up to vile passions. Even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. It gives you the picture of Sodom and Gomorrah when they went in there and the two angels come to town and Lot says, you got to get in here, come to my house. You don't know these guys like I do. And these men were beating on the door, so burnt up in their lust, their selfish, disgusting desires for men. And these men were, these were angels in human form. I mean, there was something about them that looked, you know, probably beyond the normal guy. And they were just burning for this to the point that Lot says, let me give you my virgin daughters. Take them. I don't understand that culture in that time. I know that women weren't valued as high as men. But as a dad, I'm still thinking, I can't believe he did that. And they said, we don't want them women. You bring them out. Matter of fact, because you're like this, you think you're some kind of leader here. You sit in the gate. You think you're old. We're going to do worse to you. And those angels pulled him in and they smote those men with blindness. And it says they came out from every part of the city, both old and young, great and small. I mean, we're talking about leaders down to nothing, old and young. And then these angels, they smite them with blindness. And it says they wearied themselves all through the night trying to find the door to Lot's house. You want to know how far sin can take you? It can take you a long ways. It can take you there. Friend, can I tell you something? The Bible tells you, man, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. It's not to be played with. It's not to be toyed with in any form or fashion. Listen to this. It says, they burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Now, when you get to that right there, everybody goes, what is the penalty? And we always start with AIDS. Well, AIDS didn't show up till, what, the 80s. So we've got, you know, 1,000 years prior to that. Listen, can I tell you this? The penalty of their error starts with just the shame and the guilt that happens. It starts there. It goes from there into things like, yes, it goes into judgment. It can go into being caught and somebody stoning you to death. It can go into disease. It can go into death. It can go into all manner of things. I know a couple people personally, kind of close to me and Randy and in our family. One is gay, one's a guy, one's a lady, a woman. And they've had a life of this kind of lifestyle. And they always promise you, it's all, you know, we're just like everybody else. Can I tell you something? They are both insane now. They are so ate up. I mean, they think they hear voices. There's all manner of things that's going on. The relationships. I mean, I know the guy at one point, he was stalking his former friend. I'll put it that way so you understand. There's no talking to him. There's no normal conversation. Why? Because God's word is true. They'll receive the penalty of their error. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah, God says, some rumors have come up. I'm going to go check this out. Now, God, in this way, his language, he's speaking with Abraham. God knows everything about it. God knows what he's going to do. And Abraham says this, Lord, if you can find 50 righteous, would you not spare the city? Abraham, I'll do it for 50. What about 40? What? He gets all the way down to 10. Surely there's 10 righteous people in Sodom. Surely there's 10. So Abraham rests on 10. And then Abraham, when he awoke, he seen the smoke ascending up. they received the penalty of the error, which was due. Can I tell you something? God does not just come and destroy. God always sends His messengers. Now, can I ask you something today? Who are you as a believer? I say it all the time, you know, evangelism isn't for everybody. That makes a lot of Christians real happy when they hear that. Until they hear the next part when I say it's only for believers. If you're an unbeliever, I don't expect you. Matter of fact, I don't even want you trying to tell the gospel. Okay? You don't understand it. You don't know it. I don't want you telling it. You see, when Nineveh, that great city, was deserving of God's wrath, they were wicked. All of the things we read about, all these sexual sins, they were guilty of that. And He sends Jonah, the reluctant, disobedient prophet. And Jonah did not go with a message of love, Bob. He's like, my God's going to destroy you in 40 days. I'm going to set up on the hill with a gourd and I'm going to sit in the shade, got my beach, my lawn chair out, and I'm going to watch God destroy you and I'm just going to giggle. But when the king heard the message, he declared a fast. He said, even the animals are going to fast. Peradventure, God would have mercy. Do I think there's hope for America? Absolutely. Do I think it's in Donald Trump? No. I definitely don't think it's in Biden. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Trump's way, way better. And that's probably who I'll vote for. But let me just say this. He's not our Savior. He's not where my hope is at. My hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in the fact that the gospel will be proclaimed. Whether it is unto salvation or whether it is unto judgment, our God will get glory for the preaching of the message. Now listen to this. I'm going to read one more thing. We're talking about all this homosexuality. I want to get back to Leviticus 18 and listen to this. He says this. In verse 22, he says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Now, he doesn't mention the females in here, most likely because they didn't really have a lot of rights. It wasn't like they were running around doing their own thing. But I think we know from the New Testament what God's word is on that. We just read it. Amen? But I want to show you how vile these things get. After he mentions that, in verse 23, he says, nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Friends, these things take place today. The depth and the depravity of our sin. And here's where we have problems. We will look at that and we will say, how disgusting. How disgusting are those people? And the very sin that you've made a place in your heart for, that's okay. We all sin, you know. We all come short. You cannot play with fire without getting burned. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Now, in the Old Testament, what did he say to do? He said, take those people out and you stone them to death. Now, there's a lot of Christians today that still would like to do that very thing right there, wouldn't they? I mean, sometimes you'd like to do that. But what did God tell us to do? He said, love our enemies. Pray for those that spitefully use us. Let me read something to you over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? All of that we're talking about is unrighteousness, right? Not going to inherit it. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. Fornication is any unlawful sexual situation. Any act It's the umbrella that covers them all. He said fornicators, he said idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. He's saying these aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God. He says nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. This weekend at that retreat we went to, we saw a man get up. It's kind of testimony night. I can't say everything he said, but basically he said this. I gave in to evil desires. I tried to live the homosexual lifestyle for 2 years. Gave himself to it. And God pulled me out of it. Thank God that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. To save sinners just like this. Sinners just like you and I. Don't ever look at somebody and say they're too vile and too disgusting for God to save. Don't ever think that I would never do that. You've got the capability of making Hitler look like a choir boy. You wouldn't think that about Miss Pat or my mom, would you? Outside of God's grace, it could very well be true. Friend, when we talk about the wrath of God, and we look at our nation, and you keep in mind that when Paul is writing this, he is writing this in the face of the Roman Empire, who was guilty of every bit of this stuff. Every bit of it. Our country, our nation, is guilty of every bit of this stuff. A couple years ago, I heard about a grandmother and a grandson wanting to get married. I mean, I'm just like, that is disgusting. They were on there being interviewed. Oh, we just love each other. Well, I love my grandkids too, but not in a warped way like that. We live in a time that we want to normalize all manner of just pure wickedness. All kinds of vile, disgusting passions, desires. Our country, our leadership is trying to normalize this stuff. I'm sorry, if you're a person, you can't be a dog. You can't be a cat. If you're a man, you can't be a woman. If you're married, you can't have somebody else. God's given you your spouse, your companion. You may need to repent today. You may need to repent of maybe the warrings going on in your own heart. You may need to repent today of the judgment that you've held for people that you're better than. That's kind of the way we looked at it. And I want to do this. I want to give a biblical invitation today. Jesus himself gave an invitation in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He qualifies who he's calling. If you need to repent today, if you need to come and pray, then we're going to do that. Somebody is going to come play, right? Okay. Nobody was moving, I thought. Maybe I'm not in on the loop. And I want you to know this. You may even be a member on our membership roll, but God may be telling you today you're not even saved. If you're lost in your sins, Jesus is inviting those that are late. Those, when he talks about laboring, it's those that have tried to make themselves better. You've labored and you're weary. You're burdened down and it's like you dropped in a heap. You ain't got no more strength to go on. And an evil taskmaster comes and says, I'm going to dump this load on you too. All them other sins that you've done. And you're overwhelmed. Jesus is telling you, come to me.
come to me. And he says this, I'll give you rest. Aren't you tired of being tired?